Good morning, everyone. Welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Leslie W. I am a recovered compulsive overeater. Today is August the 30th, and we are reading from the Big Book, page 82, beginning with the first paragraph. Perhaps there are some cases, reading through until face-to-face combat, just the first paragraph only. Today's readers are Karen W. on the 12 Steps, Rhonda R., 12 Traditions, Sandy K., reading the text, Shelley E. reading 164, and Barbara W. in the back, in waiting in the wings as our backup reader today. The reference numbers for yesterday are as follows. The share ID for Sunday, August the 29th, 17,651. That's yesterday's special edition, 17651. This morning's share ID, 17,654. That's 17654. All right. OA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors, and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At A Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. And I will now ask Karen W. if she would please star one to unmute and read our 12 steps for us.
Good morning. This is Karen W., recovered compulsive overeater from Long Island, New York. And here are the 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous. One, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. 3, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood him. 4, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. 5, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. 6, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. 7, humbly asked him to remove our shortcomings. 8, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9, made direct amends to such people whenever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood him, praying only for knowledge of his will for us and the power to carry that out. 12, having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we try to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you for letting me do service this month, and I'll pass.
Thank you so much, Karen. All right, Rhonda, you're up next. Rhonda R.
Thank you, Leslie. Good morning, everyone. Rhonda R., gratefully recovered in Georgia. The 12th tradition. 1. Our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. 2. For our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as he may express himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3. The only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4. Each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5. Each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6. An OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7. Every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8. Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9. OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10. Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues. Hence, the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11. Our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, film, television, and other public media of communication. 12. Anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. And I'm grateful for the opportunity to be on Team Monday this month. Thank you.
Thank you, Rhonda. All right. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive of readers only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year. For readers, is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass. Then press star 1 to mute your phone again. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker should be muted. Today, we will resume our study on the Big Book, page 82, first paragraph, beginning with perhaps there are some cases. I will now ask Sandy Kay if she would please read for us. Sandy?
Thank you, Leslie. This is Sandy Kay from Florida, and I am a recovered compulsive overeater. Leslie, thank you for your service, and thank you for allowing me the opportunity to do service. Perhaps there are some cases where the utmost frankness is demanded. No outsider can appreciate such an intimate situation. It may be that both will decide that the way of good sense and loving kindness is to let bygones be bygones. Each night, pray about it. Have the other one's happiness uppermost in mind. Keep it always in sight that we are dealing with that most terrible human emotion, jealousy. Good generalship may decide that the problem be attacked on the flank rather than risk a face-to-face combat. This morning, I was asked to read this paragraph, and when I first read it, I thought to myself, oh my goodness, what am I going to share on this? So I'm going to share from a couple of points of view, which are all mine. First of all, the Big Book says, each night pray about it. It doesn't say each day talk to 10 people about what they think you should do. It doesn't say talk to the other person involved to see what you should do, which might be okay in most cases, but may not be. And then when you're praying about it, have the other person's happiness uppermost in mind. I think sometimes people have a guilty conscience. I mean, I have before. And I just want to tell somebody something, not thinking if it was going to hurt them or not. I just want to get it off my chest. Well, this is not one of those times. So pause and ask until you get an answer. I mean, the answer may not come right away. For me, I've had to learn patience because the Big Book says, you know, you give it to God and relax and wait for the answer. Well, I'm the kind of person that used to read mystery novels, and I would read the last paragraph of the book to see how it turned out. So stopping was never in my vocabulary. So this, by the way, this paragraph really encompasses the part of step 9. It says, may direct amends to people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. And I have to really stop and think about that, because I had been a tornado, like the big book talks about, going through over the people's lives. I never stopped. I was just a whirling dervish. But now I need to stop. Is it going to hurt them? And if not, and if it does, what do I do about it? It says, you may decide that the problem be attacked on the flank rather than face-to-face combat. The flank, that means, I had to look up the word, on the side, on one of the sides. And I think that is going to be the intimate situation that no one else can guide me with except my higher power. And remember, it says, for me, remember, loving kindness. So, all right. Thank you for letting me share. I think that's really all I have today, and I'm going to hear other inspired shares. Thank you.
Thank you, Sandy. Appreciate you and your service. All right. We are going to open it up for shares, and may I remind you that if you have shared, if you shared last week, Thursday or Friday, please refrain from sharing this morning and let others have an opportunity. All right. Who wants to share on this paragraph at page 82?
Cynthia C.
Kristen R.
Cynthia, Kristen.
Bruce,
we're on page 82. Bruce. If you just joined us, we're on page 82, beginning with the first paragraph. Perhaps there are some cases. Okay. So I've got Cynthia C., Kristen R., and Bruce E. Cynthia, why don't we go ahead and get started with you, followed by Kristen R. Everyone else, please mute. Thank you.
Thank you so much, moderator. Thank you for everybody who makes this meeting happen today and every day. I'm deeply grateful to be on the meeting today. This is such a good topic for me. Cynthia C., recovered compulsive eater and food addict in Newton, Massachusetts. So I have been praying in my 11th step, my morning meditation and prayer and during the day, to learn to make space for other people in my life. I think that when I was in my addiction, and even being in recovery for 4.5 years, like being in my addiction, my college friends, just decades ago, used to refer to like the Cindy centered universe, you know, and I think I was like that tornado. There was so much trauma in my life that my coping skill was that I could only focus on myself, really. And I thought I was so kind and so generous. But a lot of my kindness and my generosity was because I wanted to get something from you. I wanted you to think well of me. I wanted you, you know, it was because of what I wanted. It was really focused on me. And I've really been praying a lot lately to accept my husband, my college-age daughters, the people in my life for who they are in this moment in time. And to work on my level of acceptance. And when I'm able to do that, and I have to say that there's a lot of sadness with that. There's a lot of letting go, and there's a lot of grief, and there's a lot of sadness of letting go of a fantasy of who I think I should be, my husband should be, my daughters, our new puppy, you know, this fantasy of letting it go. But when my husband and I had an argument yesterday, and I was actually really hurt, and but I handled it differently. I did my 10th step. And when I did my 10th step, and I had to do a couple of them to get to the truth, to get to the heart of the matter, you know, and when I was able to do the 10th step and let go and sort of see my part, you know, I was able to speak my truth to him. And I wasn't perfect. I got definitely frustrated, but it was so much better than it had been in the past. You know, when I was in the food, when I was in my cup, so to speak, you know, I raged and raged and raged and raged. And he would do something wrong, or he would say something hurtful, which he is apt to do because he has a different language than me. Like, I just because he grew up in a different household. We both speak English. You know, that he says things that are hurtful. And in the past, it would ruin the entire day. I would let it ruin the entire day. I would let it ruin the entire week. It would drag on and on and on. And this time, I was able to speak my truth, ask for something, and let it go, you know. And when he asked if I still wanted to go out with him later in the day, like, I went off and I did my own thing. I took my own space. And when I came back, he said, would you like to go out? And I was able to let it go. And I was able to give him space to be who he needed to be.
That's,
I don't know.
Kind.
I think this, thank you so much. I'm just so grateful. I couldn't have done that if I was in the food. Thank you.
Thanks, Cynthia C. Next up, I have Kristen R., followed by Bruce E.
Oh, thank you for your service. My name is Kristen R. I'm a grateful compulsive overeater in Virginia. And the word that jumps out to me from this paragraph is jealousy, because that is my underlying worst character defect. And I never thought it was. I never thought I was an envious person. Even in program, even in recovery, I thought I was serene. But, you know, things would happen. Like, all of a sudden I would decide, well, I think we should move, because I was jealous. I am jealous of other people and what I think their lives are like. And so when I do these, you know, when I get into these situations with other people where I feel like other people are wrong and other people owe me something, like an apology, then I need to do what the paragraph says and attack from the flank. I need to step back and I need to look at the whole picture and see what my part in it is. What is my responsibility? Because underneath all of my character defects is jealousy, this thinking of if only things were different, then I would be okay. And it always comes back to jealousy. And, you know, lately I've been struggling with jealousy, even in recovery. I've been struggling with, you know, wanting to move, because I keep thinking a bigger house will fix things. A bigger house will fix my children's friendships. A bigger house will fix my marriage. A bigger house will, you know, make me thin and beautiful. And, you know, just a lie. It's a lie that I need to see. And the way I see it is as a lie is through the 10th step and to continue to take it through the inventory process and look at what's going on underneath. What are the jealousies that are underneath this character defect of wanting something different, wanting something more. And I just need to keep coming back to program and keep working it every day. So with that, I pass. Thank you for listening.
Thanks so much, Kristen. Next up, I have Bruce E. Go ahead, Bruce.
Yeah, that's me. Yeah, thank you. It's Bruce E., and I'm recovered in Fort Myers, Florida area. Glad to be on the line. Very grateful today. And let's see, let bygone. Okay. A lot of times I don't want to do that. You know, I want to keep bringing stuff back up to my wife for shock effect or to try and impress her, or, you know, that kind of stuff. Or if we're talking to other people and my wife's there, I throw a few things out that I did in my past. Not the going out on my wife, but other stuff. And it's to try to build myself up around my wife. And before we got married, I told her a bunch of stuff I did. She should have never done that. I don't know why I did, but I did that. And I thought I was supposed to, you know, I thought I was supposed to do some disclosure before we got married. I wasn't in a 12-step program then, long before that. Anyway, she told me like 20 years later, she said, I wish you'd never told me that stuff. Remember that stuff you told me? She said, I wish you'd never told me that stuff. So I got to let bygones be bygones and not try to impress other people with stuff that I've done that really doesn't shed a positive light on me. And it says here, each night pray about it, having the other one's happiness uppermost in the mind. So how often do I pray about it, trying to have my wife's happiness uppermost in my mind? I need to start really doing that, trying to help her to have her happiness uppermost in my mind. Man, that may help her life a whole lot, in mine in turn, but at least hers anyway. This terrible human emotion is jealousy. And my wife's not in 12 steps. Doesn't need to be. I wish she was in like Al-Anon. I took her to a few meetings and she didn't go for it. Anyway, so dealing with this terrible human emotion, jealousy. Well, I got tons of friends. My wife doesn't have too many. I'm one of them, but she didn't have all kinds of friends like I do, because I met so many people on these lines and in this program, and I got a lot of friends, and she doesn't have that many. So the jealousy comes in where she's not necessarily jealous of other people exactly. She's jealous of the program, you know, that I got this program that I do, and I get on these phone calls and I work this stuff and I talk to my sponsor and I talk to other people and all that. And she's sort of jealous of that whole thing. So I asked my sponsor what to do, and he said, well, make your calls when you're not at home, when you're not, and I'm not home now. So he said, do your stuff when you're not around her, and then when you're around her, just be with her. And so I've been trying to do that when I'm around her. I've been doing stuff with her, like eating dinner, watch TV together, you know, stuff like that together, doing stuff, going out places, stuff like that. That really helps our relationship a lot when I do stuff with her and I don't let other things affect it, you know, interrupt it. So thank you very much for letting me share. I pass.
Thanks, Bruce. All right, we're going to open it back up again. We are on page 82, beginning with the first paragraph. Perhaps there are some cases. Who would like to share on that paragraph? Bygones, letting bygones be bygones. That's what we're talking about this morning, keeping our spouse or our loved one's other happiness, each other's happiness uppermost in our minds. Who would like to share on that? I got you, Leia.
Carol Q.
Carol Q. All right. Leia, would you get started for us? And Carol, you'll follow Leia, and then we'll open it up again.
Oh, goodness. I am so grateful to all of you guys who make this meeting possible and to bring up every time I bring up something. Yeah, let bygones be bygones. That's why I decided to share. And my name is Leia S., and I'm gratefully recovered in Brooklyn, New York. What is bygones be bygones? It means facing exactly what I was doing up until now, not focusing on my husband coming home each day and having a yelling match or some kind of that or the other. And why did I stay in this marriage and all that, you know, that's kind of deep. But making amends letting bygones be bygones. I had gotten to the recovery where I just decided to put things into God's hands, because I do step 1, 2, and 3 every single day. And of course, step 10, which is a review of step 4 till 11. And that's what I do every day. Dear God, this is what I'd like to do. If you are in agreement with me, help me carry it out in a good manner. So I need to say to my husband that, did that in the past. No longer am doing it. I'd like to be kind to you today. And that's why I did A, B, and C. Did you notice that? I needed to speak up about it. Keeping the other person's kindness, to be kind. I don't know if I can identify with happy, but to be kind, and then eventually the happiness does occur. But we got to get jealousy and stuff like that on. There's a lot in this paragraph, but the most important point that I wanted to bring out is to be honest about it and to be honest with the spouse, with my spouse, about it. You know, today I did not do anything kind for you, but I would like us to have a peaceful meal, or, you know, just be honest, be authentic. And that's what happened, and that's what gave a lot to my recovery. And with that, I pass.
Thank you, Leah. All right, next will be Carol Q. Then we'll open it up again.
Good morning, Carol Q, a recovered compulsive overeater. And the word that speaks to me this morning is jealousy. I've become aware that I am a jealous person. You know, for so many years, I just hid that. I thought, well, jealousy is such a terrible thing and I mustn't have it. And I found that I compare myself to other people. And when I do that, I avoid other people and I go into isolation. I was looking at a picture my sister had posted on Facebook, and I always thought she was jealous of me. And here the feelings of jealousy came up. And I have to look at it. I will be making amends to her when I visit her this summer. And I'm so grateful for this program, because I know I have to pray and ask for guidance with this. And recovery is a way of living for me. And each day I seem to learn something more about myself that I'd been hiding because of shame. And I'm so grateful to be here today. And thank you, everyone, for your service. I'll pass.
Thanks, Carol Q. All right, we're going to take some more shares. On page 82, we are sharing about keeping each other's happiness uppermost in our minds. First paragraph, who wants to share on that?
Danielle M.
Danielle M.
Jody H.
Esther K.
Jennifer A.
Roz G.
Okay, let me tell you who I heard. I got Danielle M., Jody H., Esther K., Jennifer A., Roz G. Did I miss anybody? Okay, great. Danielle, we'll start with you. Everybody else, please mute, followed by Jody H.
Hi, I'm Danielle. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can.
Okay, great. I've been listening a lot lately to this meeting. I haven't really been sharing, which is something kind of where I'm at. It's really good to listen to other people's recovery. And a couple things came to my mind about kindness and some other things. But first, for me, I am not naturally a kind person. I, in general, get confused between what is kindness and what is being nice. And I can be very nice, but it doesn't necessarily mean I'm very kind, because it's usually when I'm being nice, I want something, or I'm trying to manipulate the situation to go my way. And so, yeah, so it was hard to say, I'm not generally a nice person, or not, I'm sorry, a kind person. And so that was a good place for me to be honest. And then also, I needed God, my higher power, to kind of show me how to be kind to different people in my life, and what does that look like. And it's definitely a process, because for one person, it may look totally different than another person. And so I need my sponsor, and I need a counselor and all those things to really help me to do that, because on my own, I am not able. I don't have the power to do that. And so I feel so grateful that this program helps me with that. And I think also it's important for me to learn to be kind to myself. And the first place I need to be kind with myself is to follow my food plan, send my food into my sponsor every day, and follow the food plan to the best of my ability. And then when I'm able to do that, I can get more connection with my higher power to help me to be kinder to other people in my life. So thanks for letting me share.
Thanks so much, Danielle M. Up next, I have Jody H., followed by Esther K. Jody?
Yes, my name is Jody. I'm a compulsive overeater from the state of Maine. I don't know if what I have to say has already been said, but when I read this paragraph, I don't identify a lot with the jealousy question. I have to go back a ways in my life to because I've found out through the years that it doesn't pay to be jealous of somebody, what somebody might have or what somebody might do, because the grass just looks greener on the other side. And so over the years, I've kind of tapered that to it's not so much of a deal for me that I'm aware of at this time. But the words that stood out to me in this paragraph were pray. And I'm like, oh my word, this big book, every time, at every juncture where there's a key moment where we need to make a step or we need to do something, some kind of plan of action to make ourselves better people, it's the big book says pray. And I've sometimes, I don't know what it takes to sometimes just get it into my head that my higher power is just waiting to hear from me. And I love that we're going to pray with the other person's a benefit in mind and being less selfish and focusing on others. And I find that when I focus on others and I pray for others, I'm healed and I'm set free. And it's such a powerful experience to pray and see such a change in myself and to see a change in my relationship with others. For instance, my ex called this morning. We have a really good relationship. And I just listened. And as I'm listening, I'm saying to myself, do I want to end this conversation with my ex on a good tone this morning so that he will have a good day? And yes, I can do that. I can listen. I can be a careful listener. And that's all I got. Thanks, and I'll pass.
Thank you so much, Jody H. All right, Esther K., you're up.
Hi, I'm Esther K. from Chicago, Illinois. Recovered compulsive overeater. I also, what got me in this paragraph is, number one, pray. We got to a stage now that you realize, or I realize, that my own thinking didn't do me any good so far. My own thinking was and is sometimes, or many times, distorted by my character defects, by my addiction. But now I know that I need to connect to my higher power. I need to connect to God and get the guidance from Him. And I cannot rely on my own thinking. I remember that in the beginning when the sponsor always used to tell me, pray about it, pray about it. And I always got so annoyed. You have experience. You have, just tell me what your experience is. Tell me what you did. And she would tell me, no, you need to pray about it. You need to connect with God and see what guidance you get from Him. And the more, of course, I am into the program, the more I see how true that is. And I also see that even when I pray about it, I have to be careful, because sometimes my own kind of thinking will come in and it will tell me to do things. And this paragraph tells me if what I'm going to do is going to hurt the other person or going to cause a rift, then I know that this is not what my higher power wants me to do. So I have to keep on praying and listening carefully to what I hear. And there's nothing wrong with running it by other people, but it always has to be after I, or or whatever advice I might get, I still have to pray about it and connect to my higher power and hear what He has to tell me and what direction am I getting. And when I manage to do that, which is really, that is what pause is all about, connecting to God and getting His direction, then life looks different. Life looks a lot more beautiful. Life looks a lot more peaceful, and definitely relationships only grow from there and become better. Thank you so much, and I pass.
Thank you so much, Esther K. All right, Jennifer A., you're up next, followed by Roz G.
Hi, excuse me. Hi, this is Jennifer A., a compulsive overeater in California. This is my first share on Vision for You. Thank you so much, everybody, for being there. I really appreciate this paragraph, and what's coming up for me about let bygones be bygones is that I've noticed recently, in the short period of time that I have been out of the food, is that in this last kind of uncomfortable situation in my marriage, that I have had the sight to see how I'm the one that takes longer to let bygones be bygones, because I have a tendency to hold on to the hurt a bit longer. And somebody mentioned earlier about just dragging things through my head. But now I realize, you know, I'm the one that needs to put in a bit more energy into the marriage after letting the bygones be bygones, because I'll let the bygones be bygones and then just sit back and be the same, you know. Yes, I'm nice and yes, I'm kind, but am I giving a bit more into the relationship to see about my husband's happiness? And the answer to that question, truthfully, is no, I'm not, because I feel entitled. And the truth of the matter is that I, you know, that's not my higher power's vision for me. That's not about being of maximum service to somebody else in my life. And as much as it hurts, and my pride would like to say, forget it, I need to sit back and be the queen, because, you know, he's going to pay for everything that every other person has said to me in my life. You know, I'm not the only one here, and I need to give a little bit too and set all of that pride aside and really truly let the bygones be bygones, which is what my higher power would want and what these steps talk about to me. And it's just, again, amazing the clarity from not being in the food has brought to me just in such a short period of time around subjects and situations. And I just love this big book and this program. And I'm so grateful that I found this meeting and the sponsor that's been given to me. So thank you all for being here. And I'll pass.
Thanks, Jennifer. Up next, I have Roz G.
Good morning. Good morning, everybody. My name's Roz G, and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater. And I'm in Los Angeles this morning. And the most terrible human emotion, the big book calls, is jealousy, is the most terrible. And I spent a great many years being jealous of my sister. And that grew into a habit of jealousy towards anything or anyone, anyone that didn't, that had something that I wanted. And it was just debilitating, and it's exhausting. It's exhausting to be jealous of other people, because it's a constant process thought of what I don't have, what I'm not doing, what I can't do. It's so negative and so exhausting. And there's no gratitude in that at all. And when I recognized that through the six-step inventory, through the character defect, and realizing that jealousy was probably my number one character defect, and asking God, practicing step seven and asking God to remove it from me, it took a while. It took a while. I had to pray and meditate on the opposite of that and then live it out in the day. Because sitting and meditating and not putting my feet to the action, it's fantasy if I don't do something about it. And so keeping others' happiness uppermost in mind, coupling with being grateful for what I have, is a much more freedom, a much more freeing way to live. It's much more joyful, and it frees me up for God to work with me and to do what He wants me to do. And so today I have so many other things to do than to be jealous of other people. God has given me my own talents and abilities. And God has given me the people in my life with whom He wants me to interact with, whether it be family or friends, and to pray and to practice to have joy for other people who get good things. And I really appreciate living this way. It's a lot godlier life for me. Thank you, and I pass.
Okay, thank you, Roz. I think we have time for maybe one more share. We're on page 82, first paragraph. Would anyone like to take that? Begins with, perhaps there are some cases.
Hi, this is Kathy B., compulsive overeater.
Hey, go ahead, Kathy.
Hi. Yeah, I have a big problem with jealousy. I'm starting my four step. I wrote down three resentments and wrote on them. And one of them is of a person I worked with who I was extremely jealous, because she always shared such positive stuff and about her family and everything. And I was very jealous because I have all my brothers and sisters are addicts, and I don't have a relationship with them. And it really hurts. And sometimes I feel like really weird, but I was very jealous of this person. Well, I don't work with her anymore since I left a week ago. But actually, I really admired her a lot, and she was my friend, but deep down, I was extremely jealous of her. And, I need to work on that. But now that I'm abstinent, I don't feel as much jealousy and fear and anger towards people, because I'm starting to live. And I was jealous of people who were living, because I was just in the food you know. So thanks for letting me share.
Thank you so much, Kathy from New Jersey. I think that was Kathy B. Man, we actually, I think we have time for another share if anybody would like to take that. Yeah, we do. Perhaps there are some cases where the utmost frankness is demanded, going to the end of the paragraph, face-to-face combat. Keeping each other's happiness uppermost in our minds in regards to our significant other. Would anyone like to take that last share today?
Hi, this is Catherine W.
Catherine, you said?
Yes.
Catherine W., where are you from?
I'm from Portland, Oregon.
Perfect. Thank you.
Sorry,
go ahead.
I can't remember if I've shared on this meeting before, but I just wanted to say thank you to everybody that shared today. I've learned so much, and I know now that I can be more kind and more loving, and I've gotten some great ideas from other people on what that looks like for them in their lives. And I just want to say I appreciate everybody that's doing service and that's on this meeting today. Thank you.
Thank you, Catherine W., I think it was, from Oregon. Yeah. Thank you so much. All right. We're going to now close with a reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. Will Shelley E. please read a vision for you? Our book is meant to be suggestive only.
You bet. Good morning. I'm Shelley E., a recovered compulsive overeater, presently in Petoskey, Michigan. Page 164. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then. Thank you for letting me do service, and I pass.